Welcome to Outside Source Football, your inside look at the NFL. Listen to the latest predictions and happenings from the season with your hosts, Evan Mick and Gabriel Vondre. Here they are now.
Hello and welcome to Outside Source Football on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM with Evan Mick,
Gabriel Vondre,
and Joseph Doherty.
Today we'll be talking about the NFC free agency and some of the new rule changes that are coming to the NFL in 2024.
But before we get to that, happy birthday. Gabriel Vondre.
Happy birthday, Gabriel Vondre.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
At least the
that.
Day of this recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, day of.
So, what are you, guys. 48 now?
39.
Ooh, big 4-0 next year.
4-0, yeah, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, might do a trip. We'll see.
With the missus?
Yeah, shut up. Anyway, thanks, guys. Let's get to the important stuff.
Anyway, hip drop tackling.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so kicking it off with the Falcons signing Kirk Cousins.
Ah, spicy.
Ah, I think this is a good move for them, especially spicy. Because they weren't going to get anybody in the draft. So if you think you can compete this year, which you can because of how horrible the NFC South is,
yeah,
go out and sign Kirk Cousins. And Atlanta right now, for me personally, is definitely the favorite to win the South.
I agree.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking in my head about, yeah, it's going to come down to probably Derek Carr and the Saints versus Kirk Cousins and the Falcons, which is kind of hilarious because I think at times we've compared those two and said they're in a similar tier. I've eventually gotten to the point where I do think that Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback, but what did we call it?
Especially last year.
Well, I don't know, but Derek Carr is just like
a mid-off. It's a mid-off.
Yeah. I mean, Derek Carr is just like Kirk Cousins, but his dad didn't love him.
He's religious Kirk Cousins. Right. Yeah.
He's religious Kirk Cousins?
He's religious Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins is... Yeah.
I
feel like it's the opposite.
Kirk Cousins is very religious.
Okay, well, so is Derek Carr.
And Kirk Cousins, the people that he plays with don't go to jail, so...
That's true.
Ooh.
That's true. Well, Derek Carr has yet to break into pop culture the way that Kirk did with the chains and the shirt off on the plane.
And people you like know? Kirk Cousins more.
Derek Carr's teammates like him.
No, but I'm saying like the media, the public is more into Kirk.
True.
Like they eat up
that's
whatever
true.
Kirk Cousins does.
Kirk has only won, what, one more playoff game than Derek Carr?
Yeah, I think it's partially because he was hurt last year. And so like you can't, he played really good the first two games and then he got hurt. So then the rest of the year people feel bad for him because of how good he was playing, right?
We do just.
Yeah, but at the same time, what was that game? There was a game I was watching with the Vikings where it was like, oh, Kirk Cousins' stats are not that bad. But it like didn't show that he had two fumbles. Like he had a pick and like two touchdowns, and they're like, "Oh, you know, other than that pick, he's fine." I'm like, "No, he got sacked and lost two fumbles."
I mean, either way, it's a huge upgrade for the Falcons and kind of the mess they had at quarterback last year.
Seriously,
this is a talented team, young team. You got a lot of pieces on offense. You think that just plug Kirk Cousins in? He's an efficient distributor of the football. Just get the ball to these guys in space and let them make plays. And, yeah, like you said, this is the NFC South. It's not like you're playing against Patrick Mahomes twice a year or, you know, any really quarterback of note.
Right.
I mean, like, who, what? The Tampa Bay won it at 9-8.
Yeah.
And they're running it back with that same team that I think overachieved the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, 10 wins almost.
Bryce Young.
I think 10 wins gets you the NFC South for sure.
Yeah.
So,
he's instantly, in my mind, the best quarterback in the NFC South.
I agree.
So, and it's not like you think about it and you're like, oh, he had Justin Jefferson. He's significantly downgrading at weapons. Well, not really. I mean, you don't have Justin Jefferson, right? So your wide receiver one is getting a lot worse.
Well.
But the rest of the team offensively, Bijan Robinson is much better.
He should
have
a better running game.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And Kyle Pitts is a phenomenal athlete at tight end. And TJ Hockenson's good, but I think Pitts is the better receiver.
Well, here's the thing about Pitts.
Whoa, Evan. Slow that down. Go ahead, Joe.
Here's the thing, because Kirk Cousins was like, oh, what, like, what can I give you in exchange for getting the number 8 jersey? And Kyle Pitts is like, targets. And Kirk Cousins thought he was joking. I'm sure he was dead serious. The Falcons have announced Kirk Cousins will be wearing number 18. Kyle Pitts will still not be getting targeted.
Kyle Pitts was looking at that post like, you've got
to be kidding me. Nope, too much.
It's like
Kirk's asking too much.
What's the line in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? He's like, man, why don't anybody want me? Why doesn't anybody want to throw the ball to Kyle Pitts?
He's only a freak athlete. Anyway, go
Kyle, Kyle Pitts, yeah, is still – I'm not ready to say that he's better than T.J. Hockenson or even a better receiver in any way. I mean, until we see it from Kyle Pitts, it's all just potential. So, I mean, certainly
I'd
has,
say
the,
has the potential.
Has the potential to be really good still.
He's one of the only potential guys, though, that I like. I believe in.
You believe? Well, I mean, he had 1,000 yards as a rookie, which
– Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but – and he hasn't
and as,
done a
as
whole
a tight
lot
end,
since.
That's not
but,
common.
And Kirk Cousins loves throwing to tight ends. He has for the entirety of his career. You can go back to his days in Washington throwing the ball to Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis. So, yeah, Kirk Cousins is a tight end's best friend. Also, just quick shout-out to Kirk. Masterfully playing his career in a way that he just always gets the bag. This guy has
he
been
got
paid.
The bag.
This guy is always getting paid a lot, and he's smart about it. And I love how he's kind of like nonchalant, you know, sort of like – like, I don't know, like, you don't think that Kirk Cousins...
He's not the money hunting.
Yeah, you wouldn't think of him as a guy. It's like, he's not the guy who's, like, subtweeting, you know, about how he needs to get paid. Like, he's real respectful about
money.
It, but he just always, he always makes sure he's getting paid a lot.
3 years, $100 million, I mean...
And he's got a real, like, well, shucks, guess I've made more than, you know, anybody who's ever played in the NFL in my career. Gotta thank my Lord and Savior. like, that's his attitude about it. Right. Which I just love. So good job, Kirk.
Yeah. I'm glad that I can root for him now, too.
Me, too.
Because I, you know,
I've always hated on him, and it's because
he's on the
Viking.
Yeah. But now that he's on the Falcons, I can root for him.
And that play action pass is going to work so much better with BJ.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't wait to see him fake handoff left, roll out right.
And then not throw it to Kyle Pitts.
Because anybody but
he's
Kyle
not, you're not allowed.
Let's get
unspoken
to the,
rule.
Let's get to the rest of the NFL here.
So. Panthers trade for Deontay Johnson and then get some offensive linemen. I don't have any names, so that means that I don't remember any of the
Joe's
names.
Joe's got some names.
I got some names.
And the big one for them just today, right? They picked up Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah, that was today.
That was
today.
Huge. Yeah. That's big. See, it's a good thing we waited on the NFC because that's a big signing. Clowney, Clowney is another guy who's been smart at just signing like one-year deals and getting, you know, a decent amount, but... Like never,
yeah.
Like he had,
yeah, but
I guess nobody wants to give him a long-term deal because they're worried about it. But I mean, so yeah, now he, what did they get him on a 2-year, $20 million deal?
He also, when he was on the Browns, was like, "Oh yeah, I think I'm the best pass rusher on this team." So he's not quite so quiet about it, trying to get the bag.
Well, no, he's not. Not like Kirk. He's a little more outspoken.
I think all we really need to say about the Panthers here is that yeah, Clowney, good pickup. Deontay Johnson, good pickup.
Yeah,
they got some O-linemen. They're not going to be good this year. I mean, there's just no way. They just don't have the draft capital. They're really just going to have to wait until the year after.
They'll be better, though, I think. You're setting up Bryce Young to the point of where you can – I feel like this year is like you're at least setting up Bryce Young to the point of where if he's going to be good, he could
you're
be successful this year. Not great, but he'll have success
You should see some success from him.
Yeah, there should be a sizable difference from last season to this season if he's going to be that guy in Carolina.
They're also a team that just desperately needed depth pretty much across the roster. So, I mean, yeah, you can look at the list of guys they've signed and be like, oh, well, there's not a lot of big names, but this is a team who just, like, needed
people
that are, like, actually, you know, NFL-caliber starters. And so to bring in anybody with starting experience in the NFL is good for them. So.
I think the worst thing that they did, though, is let Brian Burns go on such a bad trade. Compared to what they could have gotten for him.
Yeah, that
if they traded him at the deadline, they could have done so much better, in my opinion.
And there was an offer for him.
And they were 1-10 at the time.
There was a reported offer for like either, at one point it was 2 first rounders and then it was a first and a second. I've seen both, but.
The 2 first rounders was like a year.
Yeah, that one was 2 years ago.
I think that was last off
that
season.
That would have been before the draft, before they drafted Bryce Young. But so like there were offers off there.
That was really mismanaged by them. But, well, I mean, what did they end up getting? A third or a second.
So I don't remember.
Yeah, not great.
But the Saints make one of the weird... I don't know. I just like why I didn't see this coming, and I just can't even picture it. The Saints signed Chase Young. So, yeah. I mean, fine move, right? Get another pass rusher, and they signed him to a shorter deal. I like Chase Young as a pass rusher, at least. He was pretty solid in San Francisco. He's pretty solid in Washington. I mean, he never quite lived up to that rookie of the year hype. He's not like a Micah Parsons, Miles Garrett, like everybody thought he was going to be, but he's been solid. And I mean, So I think it's a good move for the Saints. I just didn't see it coming.
I mean, yeah, aging defense, especially their defensive line getting older. So bringing in a higher caliber starter there makes sense. They re-signed Jonathan Abram, re-signed Tyrann Mathieu. That's an old defense. Got a lot of some older guys on that defense between, Mathieu, Cam Jordan. They got Willie Gay?
Yep.
Nice. Took him away from the Chiefs. DeMario Davis is an older guy too. I don't like this. The NFC South is going to be so close, but like not that good.
Yeah. So,
like it's going to be
so close.
I think it'll
sad.
It'll be a tight race, but I just don't know.
Yeah.
Like to go see who's going to lose in the first round of the playoffs probably again. But I mean,
just go crazy.
This year they didn't lose in the first round of the playoffs.
That's true. Well, they ran into Philly.
Yeah.
Lost in the second round.
Lost in the second round.
Are we going to move on to Tampa Bay? Do we have anything else on the Saints? Not really. I mean, they haven't done much. Chase Young was the biggest signing by far.
And the Bucs re-signed Baker Mayfield, re-signed Mike Evans.
Yeah, we've talked about Evans. We maybe even talked about Mayfield,
too. We talked about that when it was just me and you, but Joe didn't get to talk about it, so we'll let him.
Yeah, I like this. I like it. I'm happy for Baker, too. He seems to have found a place. You know, he's been getting ping-ponged around. So I'm happy for him, and I think that he's good enough to be the Bucs quarterback with targets Mike Evans, right? I mean,
he's made it to that point in the Baker Mayfield cycle
where we believe in him.
He went from doubted to perform well to now we believe in him. So the next step is for him to underperform.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we can he finally break the Baker Mayfield cycle and actually be consistently good. I think he will. I think he played well enough throughout the season last year that I believe that he's a solid quarterback.
I don't think he'll be like a top 10 guy anytime soon. Well, but I think he could be an NFL starter. Like there's no question of I want to bench him because he's not NFL caliber, right?
He may never be a top 10 guy, probably, but you know, like that's what his contract says.
Yeah.
He kind of set the market for that a mid-tier guy. Yeah, get a 3-year, $100 million deal, $30 million fully guaranteed. No, I mean, that's not close to top of the market for quarterbacks, but that's a really nice contract for a guy who I don't think Baker has ever been playing under a huge contract in the NFL. I think Cleveland got rid of him before.
Yeah, that was a rookie deal.
He could re-sign anything, so good for him.
The Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield tier of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM as we're moving on to the NFC West.
The Wild West.
The Wild West. The Cardinals.
Desmond Ridder.
Big trade for Desmond Ridder.
That's the kind of move you talk about 30 years from now where you look back at the point when like things changed. Like, you know, when the Packers traded for Brett Favre, I think that's what this move is.
That's what this is.
For the Cardinals. This is the kind of big time move where you get a guy in here that, I mean, I can't even keep going with this joke. I'm sorry. It's
he loves to throw it to the other team.
It went way too far.
They also signed Jonah Williams, who's been an okay offensive lineman. Went in his time in Cincinnati and a much improved of where their offensive line was at last year because it was pretty rough last year for Dobbs and Kyler. And then you signed a couple other offensive linemen. None of them, mine came to my head, but Sean Murphy Bunting has been the Bucs quarterback. He was their cornerback when they won the Super Bowl, and he was really, really solid. Obviously, Anton Field is like the guy, the star that everybody recognizes the name, but Murphy Bunting had a couple good seasons. And the Arizona Cardinals have really, really, really struggled in the secondary. So this is a big move for them.
Yeah. I think they have a lot of money, right? Didn't they have a lot of cap?
They have a pretty decent cap or had. I don't know what they're at
the
right
thing,
now.
Well, right, but
the thing for the Cardinals is we got to figure out if Kyler Murray is the guy this year, right?
100%.
I feel like that's what this offseason has got to be about. It's probably what the draft's going to be about. I imagine they take a receiver.
Marvin Harrison.
One of the top guys, if it's Marvin Harrison or Neighbors or whoever.
Adunze.
But we got to figure out if Kyler Murray is the answer long term. Because if not, then you're in a position where you got to blow this thing up again.
And, seriously.
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think the jury is still out on Kyler Murray. Obviously, he's had some success. He's also been hurt a lot. And, I mean, it's a toss-up. But I think he obviously did enough last year that, he's going to be their starter going into next year, and we'll see what the Cardinals have.
Yeah, Rams make a big signing,
huge.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, of course he is as we've discussed on the show suspended before. He is suspended for the first two games.
So unfortunately, they'll be without their best quarterback on their roster.
Joking about backup quarterback signings, don't we?
I think I have like four jokes on here about backup
Honestly, though, nobody is happier than Jimmy, because I think Jimmy Garoppolo is 100% content to be a backup. Watching the Raiders last year, I never saw him happier than he was in the second half of the season when he could just be the backup and cheer on a bit.
Like, just hold the clipboard.
I honestly do. I think Jimmy's a great
team. The best
team.
Years of his life were on the Patriots.
Yeah, I think he's a great team guy. I think people enjoy being around him. He, you know, he's fun. He's cool. He's whatever. He's Jimmy. And
he's
Jimmy. I don't think he really cares about playing that much. I think he's cool holding the clipboard and making $12 million a year or whatever the heck he's going to get. And, you know, just looking good on the sideline and yeah, you know, high-fiving guys as they come off the field. Right. Like, that's what he's there for.
Yeah, a big pickup for the Rams is Jonah Jackson.
Jonah Jackson.
Huge from the Lions. Just a great guard. But they paid him a lot of money.
They did.
A lot of money.
They paid him a lot of
money. Three-year, $51 million deal.
But I will say now they have one of the best interior offensive lines in the league, because, I mean, their other guard, Ben something. I don't remember his name.
They spent a bunch of money on Kevin Dotson, too.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this.
I mean, their offensive line is basically the same. Very different. So I think it'll be...
They had the money to spend. They spent it on some
good players.
Yeah, so. The problem for the Rams now is you spend all that money on offense, and then your best defensive player retires.
Yeah, that's tough.
And you look at that defense right now, and you're like,
They picked up Tre'Davious White.
Tre'Davious White, he's been hurt.
I know.
And a corner in a new scheme is not always historically the last couple seasons has not always been the best move. So, I mean, you just think about it and you're like, well, were the Rams spending in the right place? Should the Rams have gone out and signed Chase Young to a 2-year deal? Is that the kind of like star defensive power that they needed to risk it on instead of some offensive linemen? Of course, the offense is important and the Rams offense will probably be really good this year, but will their defense be able to stop anybody?
It's a good question.
That is the question.
I mean, I look at the money that they spend on the offensive line, and I'm thinking they just want to capitalize as much as they can on however many years Matthew Stafford has left, right? Because once Stafford is gone, you're probably gonna have to blow it all up. And find a new quarterback. So you don't know how much longer you're gonna have him. He's playing at a really high level right now. Let's get him as much protection as we can up front and see if we can't outscore some teams.
Stafford, Puka, Kupp, a good interior offensive line.
Kyren was pretty solid.
Scary.
I mean, we saw how good the Rams were last year when people really weren't expecting very much from them. I know they lose Aaron Donald. That's a huge loss, but they've beat low expectations before. So,
49ers sign Leonard Floyd and
Dobbs.
Give it a little intro, Evan. Come on. Give us a moving on to the 49ers. Come on, dude.
Hey, moving on to the 49ers. They have signed the GOAT, the Pastronaut, the...
Oh, my gosh. Does every team just have, like,
the man, the myth, the legend, the aerospace engineer, Joshua Dobbs?
Well, okay. We'll talk about the Browns today.
Every team has a meme quarterback signing. This is great. Remember Josh Dobbs' Linsanity run? That feels like a long time ago.
It's like so long ago.
What a great couple weeks there.
They also signed Leonard Floyd and Devondre Campbell.
Cool.
Devondre Campbell, great linebacker. I mean, he's been, I don't know how, their linebacker core was already probably the best in the league, and it got better. I don't know what they're going to do next year, but probably going to run a lot of 4-3. You got three linebackers that can play three downs.
Yeah, I would say my one concern is not a lot of help on the offensive line. They brought back John Feliciano, and looks like they brought in another guy too on a smaller deal. So I think that was the weakness that showed up the most for them in the Super Bowl, because had Purdy had some more time on some of those plays, they probably hit. And so everybody thinks, okay, 49ers offensive line, and they immediately go to Trent Williams. There's four other guys in the offensive line,
yeah,
right?
The like right tackle, especially.
Not every one of them is Trent Williams. Like, just because you have one great offensive lineman doesn't mean you have a great line. And I don't think they have a great line. I think it was something that maybe was masked a little bit through a lot of the year, but it showed up in the Super Bowl that offensive line wasn't a strength. So I would look to the draft. I think the draft is going to be a place that, they're probably looking to address the offensive line.
And from what I've seen, because I don't understand, you know, as much about the offensive line and talent. From what I've seen and what I've heard, it's been like the offensive line draft class this year is really good. So
yeah. Solid. Yeah,
that would good. Be a good place to look. I mean, this year would be the good place to look for it.
Right.
Okay, the Seahawks.
Sam Howell.
Signed crazy. The GOAT.
Acquiring a trade.
It was a trade. They didn't sign him. They traded
they
for
traded,
him.
They traded
even
for
more, even more news.
They got
they
more.
Traded for the guy who was the leading passer through the first 14 weeks of the season, had the most passing yards in the league.
Yards. Also got sacked the most.
Also had the most sacked yards, Sam Howell.
I honestly thought Sam Howell was all right. Honestly, for he what was, you tra- well for what you trade, I don't know. You got Geno Smith back there.
Yeah, he'll be a good backup quarterback.
That's Sam Howell. Cook.
He's a back. Did they lose Drew Lock? Where did Drew Lock go?
Yeah, Drew Lock. I don't remember.
Giants. He went to the Giants, right? Yes. Giants.
Don't worry, I'll introduce him later.
I guess. Yes. I just ruined our Drew Lock intro.
Come on, little foreshadowing.
That groat.
Little foreshadowing.
I'm sorry, guys. I mean, it looks like the biggest Leonard Williams. They re-signed Leonard Williams, which I think they planned on re-signing him when they traded for him. So
that's about it, though.
No surprise
Wait,
there.
Who'd they let walk again?
The safety. Seahawks?
Yeah, what's it?
Jamal Adams.
They let Jamal
Adams.
Yeah,
Jamal Adams.
Which
no.
I think is a huge problem because when you watch their safeties last year play when was it Quandre Diggs got hurt for a couple weeks?
Yeah.
Whoever their backup safeties were pretty bad, and it was very, very evident. Because the secondary is usually, like, right now at the moment, one of the best in the league. You got two solid corners, and then you had three good safeties, Julian Love, Xavier McKinney, and then Jamal Adams, you know, maybe not the best guy in coverage, but still a good player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would guess it was probably a money thing. Just came down to the other not willing to pay him. Has anybody picked up Jamal Adams?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting late pickup. He might be waiting for post-draft to see where he goes, but... I mean, yeah, not a lot of earth-shaking moves from Seattle.
Yeah. So you're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale, 101.7 FM. We'll be back after this short break. Hello, and welcome back to Outside Source Football on Radio Free Hillsdale, 101.7 FM. Talking about some free agency moves and the new NFL rules will be also talked about at the end of the show. And that's exactly
very well said. Very well said.
Very well put there.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks. Moving on to the NFC East.
Okay.
Wait, before you say anything, this is funny because I just saw it on my phone. They asked Steve Belichick what the difference he because I think he just took the job at Washington or something. In the press conference, they asked him what the difference was between him and his dad, Bill. And his response was, "I have a job and he doesn't." That is quintessential Belichick right there. Just to chip off the old block.
You know, Bill's got a slight smirk on his face watching that one at home.
Bill breathed through his nose a little harder with that one.
He thought about smiling after that one.
You saw a twinkle in his eye. That's about it.
Sorry. Anyway, moving on to the Cowboys.
They did nothing.
They
moving
signed
on to the Giants.
Rico Dowdle.
Yeah, the Cowboys signed one player from outside their own team, and that was Eric Kendricks.
They re-signed Trent Sieg, though.
They re-signed two other players from their own team.
I know Trent Sieg. He was a Raider. He's an excellent long snapper. Okay, hold up. The Cowboys. What do they need? Cowboys are in a position where they've drafted really well, and they know they're going to have to pay all their guys soon, so you can't afford to bring other guys in. So all you have to keep doing is drafting well, because when you draft that well, you can't keep everybody.
Who is their running back? Rico Dowdle? Is there
whoever
Blake
they draft?
Whoever they draft.
I hope it is Blake Corum.
You can draft
a
guy.
I'm not a Michigan fan, then I can run him against him again.
You can draft a guy in the third or fourth round who can be your starting running back and be super effective.
This is the NFL.
See Kyron Williams.
Anyway, moving on to the Giants. Drew Lock.
Giants sign a phenomenal quarterback who was involved in one of the biggest trades in NFL history, which turned out to be one of the worst trades for the teams that traded away this player. And that player is Drew Lock.
Yeah, yes. That's true. Yeah.
You made
that's
that
pretty word.
You made that really hard. Confusing. Dude.
You made that very difficult.
You sounded like you were trying to meet the word count on a paper.
And the inside the of the.
You're listening to 101.7 Radio Free Hillsdale. Outside
source. Hey,
Giants,
lock in, boys. Lock in.
Giants also make a big move. Trade for Brian Burns.
Yeah,
this
was big.
This is a phenomenal defensive line right now. which is good because the rest of their team does not look very good.
Not on paper.
All.
Devin Singletary.
You lost Saquon Barkley. Your quarterback is still Daniel Jones somehow. And your D-line is Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, and now Brian Burns. That is a great D-line.
You got to think they're probably going to bring in a receiver, right? Is that what everyone's thinking? I mean, they kind of have to. Maybe a tackle.
What, you don't like their wide receiver twos?
Please tell me who's their number one receiver.
It's just a bunch of wide receivers.
Jalen Hyatt from
the rookie from Tennessee. He's two or three. It's probably Shepard's probably one.
Shepard, that's right.
Does Darius Slayton still play there?
Yes, he is. It's the most wide receiver twos. Actually, except the Jags. Jags are competing for who
is Victor
can
Cruz
sign more wide receiver
twos. What is Victor Cruz?
I'm sorry.
No, they got Victor Cruz. Come on.
I didn't mean to talk over you there.
Don't they have Odell Beckham?
Yeah.
Oh, Odell Beckham still doesn't sign anymore.
The return.
Well, so they brought in Jermaine Illuminor, who is a solid offensive player, not special, but solid. They still have, who do they have on that offensive line? Because that offensive line was so bad last year.
Andrew Thomas is solid.
So Andrew Thomas is good. Evan Neal is the bust.
Evan Neal
is kind of a bust, right? Unfortunately.
Yeah, he's been the pass protection problem, especially.
So you get Jermaine Illuminor to deal with that. Brought in some more depth along the offensive line, and I guess they're pretty much all in on running it back with Daniel Jones, right?
Well, they don't really have much of a choice.
They can't. They're not in a position to draft somebody. So
unless they could draft J.J. McCarthy and sit him for a year behind Daniel Jones, or 2 years.
I really want my quarterback learning behind. Yeah. Offensive mastermind Daniel Jones.
While you build up the offense around him.
You go ahead and sit back. Don't pay attention to anything he does because
you see what he's doing? Do the opposite.
We don't want you doing that anyway.
Watch the other team's quarterbacks plays and that's who you'll...
Put him on the practice squad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Daniel Jones played well enough in his first year with Brian Daboll to get a nice contract and then was not playing very well last year when he got hurt, but also he was playing behind the worst offensive line in football.
And with some of the worst receivers.
Like, do you remember that Seattle game where it was just like catch, snap, three guys in his face? How about the opening? Yeah.
Opening week versus the Cowboys.
Oh, gosh. That
was
too.
Horrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, offensive line has got to be the biggest thing because you really don't even know if Daniel Jones can be decent when he's running for his life every play.
And the receivers, like, none of them are bad. None of them are bad, but none of them are wide receiver ones, right?
This was a playoff team 2 seasons ago, you know? And you can say they were a fluky playoff team. Yeah, maybe they were. But you have a really good coach in Brian Daboll.
He's such a good coach. He won Coach of the Year that year.
Yeah, a guy who's proven he can be a very high caliber
offensive mind,
play caller, all that. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But
the Commanders,
it's going to come down to Daniel Jones.
Commanders, I'm sorry. Did they sign a quarterback?
Marcus Mariota.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody has one.
The king.
Everybody has one.
Did you see his entrance interview?
Yeah.
Have you seen the clip of that?
No, I didn't even know he was on the Commanders.
He looks like, you know, when he first entered the league and like what he looks like now, it looks like Obama after 8 years of being in the White House, where his hair is just like gray and he looks weathered.
I think he just unfortunately
looks old.
He sort of lost the color in his hair really early. So he's just very gray. And he's, I don't know, what is he, 30? He's probably in his early 30s.
30?
Anyway, the Commanders signed a lot.
They brought in a lot of people.
Bobby Wagner.
This is classic Washington. The Redskins used to do this all the time, where you just huge signings.
Kind of a shotgun. Shotgun signing.
Well, the thing about like Josh Norman, Albert Haynesworth, like some of the biggest contracts in free agency history, they always bust. So hopefully they can keep that tradition going where they bring in a lot of big names in free agency and it just doesn't work. But, I mean, yeah, Zach Ertz, Austin Eckler, Cleveland Farrell, Bobby Wagner. Oh, my gosh. Yep. They have a really good team in 2016.
Now, moving on to the most important division.
Oh, the Eagles. We didn't even talk about the Eagles.
Oh, sorry.
Kenny Pickett. Come on. Come on.
The Eagles make a great move for a quarterback who has had 13 touchdowns and 11 interceptions in, like, 25 games.
That's not great.
Yeah, I don't have any good stats for Kenny Pickett.
I mean, really,
but
the only
the Eagles.
Thing to, I mean, the only thing to really talk about here is Saquon, and it's just a crazy move. I can't believe they ended up getting Saquon from the Giants. I mean, that is brutal if you're a Giants
fan. Saquon, interdivision, he's motivated, going to be playing behind probably the best offensive line he's ever played behind.
Oh, 100% the best offensive line he's ever played behind.
Yeah. They also brought in Devin White from Tampa Bay. We'll see, you know.
Brought back CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, which he used to
from
be
the
Eagles.
Lions.
Right.
And then did he just do 1 year with the Lions?
1 year and $9 million.
Back with the Eagles. Interesting move. That's kind of a strategy that players will do if in a certain free agency, if the market is bad or you're just not getting the offer you want. Take a 1 year deal somewhere and then just hope that the market is better the next year. Like, you didn't even have to play that well because CJ Gardner Johnson
didn't play
hurt
at all.
He was hurt most of the year.
He played
right?
like 5 games.
Yeah. And so bounces back. And then all of a sudden, the market is better for him this year. And he signs a 3 year, $33 million deal. Good job, CJ.
I think
CJ.
That the biggest thing to take away from the Eagles, though, Jake Elliott signs a 4 year, $24 million extension.
Tied with.
Which makes him. He has paid more money than Austin Eckler in the next 2 years.
That's crazy. We're giving kickers more money than running backs now.
Anyway.
Don't play running back, kids. Go play receiver,
go
defensive
be a
back. That's where the money is. Yeah, go learn to kick.
What we're hearing is that everybody should want to be a kicker because kickers are moneymakers and cool.
And don't have to go to film meetings.
Until you miss a big kick and then you get death threats in the mail.
Womp womp.
Double doink.
Just don't miss.
Just don't miss. Kick
all
it easy.
Kick it to
NFC
the bars.
North.
Moving on to the most important division in the league, NFC North. Starting with the Bears.
Brett Rippin. I mean, what a signing.
Holy cow.
That's a reach, fellas.
Now that's a signing.
Biggest move of the offseason.
Even
previously
Broncos.
The Rams quarterback?
Broncos. Well, Broncos. he was on the Rams too.
Broncos then
Rams. Yeah, Broncos
then
Rams.
Then here.
No, other way around. Rams and Broncos. He was on the Rams last
year. Okay, who cares? Let's talk about Keenan Allen.
We are arguing over Brett Rippin's career right now.
When Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift
I can
Swift
hear
are right
the
there.
Listeners turning us off. Come on.
So Bears trade for Keenan Allen, who is coming off one of the best years of his career.
For a fourth round pick.
You are getting, he's only has one year left of his contract. So yeah, and the Chargers weren't in the best space. So yeah, you kind of had to trade him away. But I think that the Bears were a great trade partner. I mean, you're getting at least 1 year of production for your great rookie quarterback as long as he stays healthy. And I think I really, really like the move for Keenan Allen. I mean, a fourth round pick is so cheap for a player of how good he played last year.
Yep.
It's a smart move because they're paying him a lot, but they're not paying a quarterback. So you can afford it. And so, yeah, just give your young guy more weapons, make the game easier for him. You got Gerald Everett.
DeAndre Swift.
Kevin Byard. Owens.
Actually, though, DeAndre Swift won his first NFL game for the Bears. People forget.
Yeah, with that
Matthew
drop.
Matthew Stafford. Wheel route. DeAndre Swift drops
wide
it.
Open.
The Lions lose. Classic.
Classic Lions lore there. Also,
Jalen Johnson re-signs.
Locked up Jalen Johnson.
That's big. He's very good.
The secondary's good now.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say.
They're going to be good.
In general, whoever they draft, one overall, probably Caleb Williams, going into a very nice situation.
Yeah, compared to every other one overall pick ever.
I think they need to draft Caleb Williams and then an offensive lineman. A lot of people are saying that they need to draft like Rome Odunze. They have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
They have good receivers, but they also signed a whole bunch of offensive linemen. Who people
know.
Think will be their starters. So
they could just go
really
best
know.
Player available, whoever it is.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those two.
I know you have Cole Kmet, but Brock Bowers, I mean, if he's there at 9.
I don't know about that. Cole Kmet is not an issue on their team.
I didn't say he was an issue, but have you seen Brock Bowers, dude?
He's a good player.
But anyways, so Bears, a lot of upgrades, good moves. Moving on to the Lions, though. Most important team in the NFL.
Obviously. The most
sign Kevin Zeitler from the Ravens to fill that Jonah Jackson spot. Who it's probably an upgrade.
I don't know the contract, but I think we got him for cheaper.
It was like 3 years, $21 million.
It was a lot cheaper than Jonah Jackson 100%. Signed for the Rams. And we already have Graham Glasgow. Somehow the best position that the Lions have, which is the offensive line, got better.
Yeah, 100%. I know it doesn't make
the
any
only
sense.
Thing they really need to do is extend Penne. Yep. Sewell, and we're chilling.
How do y'all feel about Carlton Davis?
I like Carlton Davis.
Baby.
Love it.
What about we going to get into Cam Sutton at all, or for legal reasons, can we not talk about Cam
for
Sutton?
For legal reasons. Yeah, Cam Sutton, no longer on the Lions.
Yeah, he's not a Lion anymore, so that we don't even need to talk
we
about
don't
him.
Need to talk,
when we talk
not
about
important
the Lions.
Anymore.
The Lions did get out of paying him a bunch of money, though.
Yeah, that was good. I think Carlton Davis will be an upgrade, pretty
Definitely.
Obviously. I mean, Cam Sutton really, really struggled last year.
I really like that they re-signed Emmanuel Mosley.
Yeah,
give
I do.
A second chance.
Too.
I bet they got him for cheap. I don't know what his contract was, but they probably got him for
if they're
cheap.
Not, if they're not showing the number on there, then it's cheap. It's well, you, cheap. You and I talked about this. He has no leverage.
He has no leverage.
Because he's coming off so many injuries.
It's crazy that they're even offering him
but,
a position.
Oh, you go, wait. Did you guys, y'all sign
DJ Reader?
DJ
Reader is the biggest one.
That's big.
That is a huge pickup.
Especially because our defensive line really, really struggled. And he's a great run defender, first of all, which we were all really good at. And he's a much better pass rusher than anybody that he's had, than we've had.
True.
As a defensive tackle position. So huge upgrade, huge signing for the Lions.
In a, yeah, especially in a division that has now Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift, and Aaron Jones as the starting running backs for
the other
three teams.
I don't think DeAndre Swift's that good.
I think he's the worst of those three, but I mean, he's not bad.
I think he's
I think he's better than
a bottom five NFL starter.
I think he's better than who they had last year. Khalil Herbert.
I really like Roschon Johnson. I think Roschon Johnson is the best running back on their roster.
All right.
But that's just my opinion.
Bold.
Anyways, moving on to the Packers, who sign Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
And then, in an interesting move, after having the best, one of, if not the best, behind the Lions, obviously, running back duos in the league, for a half hour, they cut Aaron Jones.
For a half hour.
Well, I think, yeah, when they signed Jacobs, they may have tried to go restructure with Jones, and he didn't want to do it. And so they're like, okay, well, we can't pay both of you guys this much. So now it's the A.J. Dillon, Josh Jacobs two-headed monster, which is kind of interesting to me because
it's not that much of an upgrade.
They're just different types of players. Like, you know, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon complemented each other pretty well. The things that A.J. Dillon does best, Josh Jacobs does them better. I think he's a more balanced running back for sure, but he's also a better power running back than A.J. Dillon. Like, he's just a better running back all around. So it could just be they're looking for a three down guy, you know, kind of, like I said, a more traditional balanced running back for the offense. And if that's what LaFleur wants, then he's definitely getting it in Josh Jacobs. That was tough for me to see him go as a Raiders fan, but yeah, the Packers are getting all around really great player and good guy. So
yeah, just the Josh Jacobs and the Xavier McKinney are like the only two things they did, and I think both of them were very, very good signings by the Packers.
I think it was a little questionable to sign Jacobs and then cut Jones.
I don't disagree.
But
he's younger. Aaron Jones was hurt a lot of last year. He really wasn't everybody wants to look at the Packers, the Cowboys game in the playoffs and be like, oh yeah, like Aaron Jones is still a dog. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. I think he's still a really good player too, but he also wasn't available for a lot of the season. So
I'm just mad Aaron Jones didn't sign with the Cowboys. That would have been
They've
nuts.
Also broken our streak of funny quarterback signings.
Oh.
But next we have
Sam
Minnesota.
Darnold.
Yes.
Sam Darnold.
And
signing
we're back.
A 7-year veteran who is still only 26 years old.
That's not, he hasn't been in the league 7 years.
Yeah, he has.
No,
he's joking. Not.
I'm serious.
Sam Darnold was drafted in 2018.
6 years instead of seven?
Well, this will be a sixth, right?
Oh, wow. He came into the league, what, 2021?
Really?
That was really the only big move that they made. And
well, Aaron Jones.
Oh, and then signing Aaron Jones. Forgot about that one. But that was really the big move that they made. I think that was just as a bridge guy. So whoever they draft this year will be the backup for a year or two and then come in for Sam Darnold.
Are you convinced that the Vikings are taking a quarterback round one?
Yeah, not round one, but I'm convinced that they'll take one in the top two rounds.
Okay.
I'm convinced they'll take one.
Even if they wait for Bo Nix in like the second round.
Do you think there's a chance they move up?
I could see
they're,
it.
They're one of the trendy picks
it's
to move
just,
up.
It's tough to move up in anybody this year because it's like the top three or four. What is it? It's Bears, Patriots, Cardinals, Commanders. The only team you're going
to... No, the Commanders are...
Two. But yeah, the top three picks are taking the top three quarterbacks.
Yeah, so then why would you move up? Yeah, I don't think that there's a reason to move up from 11 or wherever they're at.
Unless
13
you love J.J. McCarthy.
To four. Yeah, unless you love J.J. McCarthy.
There's so much buzz around J.J. McCarthy right now, and I think it's all Harbaugh doing it on purpose.
So that somebody drafts him.
To make somebody take a quarterback ahead of
him
so then
he
can
a,
get a better player.
A better pick, maybe. Yeah. Let's move on to the NFL rules because we only have a couple minutes left. Banning the hip drop tackle. So you can't use your body weight to pull a ball carrier down from behind by the hips and then land on top of their legs.
Joe, as our resident linebacker and defensive player, go ahead and walk us through this one.
The issue I have with this rule is that it's so subjective.
Yes.
It is so subjective, and you're going to see it completely change the course of a game. Like it's going to happen multiple games. Multiple games are going to be changed because of this rule. And it's also really hard to not hip drop.
Yeah.
Like when you're in the open space, like it doesn't matter. People are talking about like, oh, well, how are safeties supposed to tackle tight end and stuff like that? It's really just like the momentum that's like, it's just hard to not do that unless you're diving at knees, which is a whole nother issue, such as like Kirby Joseph. Everybody complains about him because he took out.
He's the only one that's tackling.
But that's how you tackle. I mean, that's how you have to tackle.
As a defender, I don't know what else you do now. It's like you can't hit a guy high. Now you can't. Yeah, you can't do a hip drop. You can't do this hip drop tackle thing. So all guys are left with is
NFL banning tackling.
Blow up their knees.
2024.
This is my. Yeah.
I just think
this is the best reason.
Yeah.
It's way too subjective, and there's going to be so many examples of. Teams are going to start arguing like that was a hip drop tackle, but they won't call it. I don't think it's going to be called very often, but whenever it gets called, it's going to be controversial.
They should make it so that it has to be like egregiously bad. But like,
which
I don't even know like what is.
Like, what are they going to do? Just call a penalty when a guy gets hurt? Like, oh, there was a hit drop tackle and a guy rolled his ankle. Now we throw the flag.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
I get that you want to get rid of concussions, like get rid of head injuries, because those are different. You know, those are like injuries that like change your life.
And I mean, but also see the helmet to helmet and you hear it.
Yeah.
And like it's instant. You know what I'm saying?
It's much easier to take helmet to helmet hits out of the game than this.
And they should take it out of the game. Yeah. Right? I mean, I think we're all in agreement.
Lower body injuries, though, they're a part of the sport. They're going to happen. I mean, you're getting paid millions of dollars to put your body on the line. And I mean, I'm sure headhunting, right, for people's knees is not okay, right? Putting your head right in the guy's knees. But I mean, that's what unnecessary roughness is for. Egregious tackles that are just ridiculously dirty. That's what we already have a penalty for that. We don't need the hip drop penalty. I think that's my take on this.
Yeah, it's. And once again, we never care about the defensive player's safety, right? It's all about protecting the offensive players. And what happens is it just makes everything harder for the defense. I mean,
Derrick Henry is going to have a field day.
as a defender, I would be super pissed. And most of the guys online are. I think, J.J. Watt and a few others have already come out and are like, well, let's just put flags on already because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, so there's two other rule changes we're going to talk about. Number one is the challenge change, where if you get a third challenge, if you get either one of the first two ones right, not instead of just getting the challenge back if you get both of them right, now if you get either one right, you get a third challenge. Good move. I mean, coaches vote on it. I know it takes a little bit longer games, but better to have the right calls, right?
They should just do what they do in college, which is every play is automatically reviewed. That's my opinion.
Kickoff change now, last minute. No. Voting was 29-3 on this. So the
on
only
the
people
kickoff?
The only people who voted against it were Green Bay, San Francisco, and Las Vegas.
It's because we're traditionalists.
So
Antonio Pierce wants to see guys running 50 yards and then running into each other.
So the kickoff is from the same spot, but all the players are not lined up, or all the players are now lined up on the 35 and 40 yard line of the receiving team side.
It's the same as the XFL.
Hey, just look it up. Yeah. Just look it up. Just it's the XFL. Up.
But it's so weird.
It's a huge change.
It's so
really
technical
huge.
Too. Like the rules are so specific that teams are going to find ways to get around it and kind of cheap the rules. I think so.
We will never see a surprise onside coming out at half by the Saints against the Colts in that Super Bowl. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's like an all-time football memory for me.
Sean Payton's entire legacy
in the Broncos
is because of that.
Because of that play.
Just insane. In an insane play call, and it worked.
So now some head coach who could have a Sean Payton arc won't, because he won't be able to make that call at halftime. And he'll just get fired because he won't have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The kickoff one is... It's only for a year, right?
Yes. So the way that they said it is it's only for a year, which makes me think that the owners are going to have to re-vote it in.
It's just going to be revisited next year, and they'll probably make more changes to it, and yeah, we'll see.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. I mean, there'll definitely be more returns, because if you kick it in the end zone, it's you get it from the 35-yard line instead of the 25 now. So there'll be at least more returns.
They want to incentivize more returns, but they also want to look out for player safety. So, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Where's the overtime rule change to college? Please.
Please.
Give it to me.
Please.
That's all I want.
Well, thank you for listening to Outside Sports Football on Radio Free Hillsdale, 101.7 FM. Just remember the legend of Jack Golgi.
Does he have an NIL deal with us yet?
Not yet. We're working on the Outside Source Football Jack Golgi.
Yeah, we need him peddling Outside Source Football on his Instagram page, because it's like the hottest Instagram page in the world.
Yeah, we can't.
Right now.
We obviously can't give away the financials, but it's a deal worth at least $2. So
that's in the works.
$2 guaranteed.
We may even throw in, sources are telling me, he could get a bag of chips.
He could get a bag of chips.
Could get a bag of chips.
Oh my gosh.
Thinking about it.